the study of His Word. They were able to be a part of a fellowship group last year, a study group, and we want to encourage you to consider it as you listen to what God has done in their lives. Tom and Jamie, would you come?
Good morning. For those of you who may not know us, my name is Tom Grankus, my wife Jamie. And a few weeks ago, Pastor came and asked if we would share a little bit about ourselves and what the Bible study has done for us in our life. I was raised in a Christian family. I asked Jesus into my heart to be my personal Savior when I was about 10 years old. I attended Sunday school every week, went to church every week, but once I graduated, my growth in the Lord ended. If someone were to ask me if I was going to heaven, I could tell them with confidence, yes, I'm going to heaven. But before last fall, someone asked me how my walk with Christ was going, I wouldn't have known what kind of answer to give them. It started about 3 or 4 years ago, Pastor and Becky started coming to Jamie and I and asking if we wanted to join a Bible study. And before they could even get the question out of their mouths, I had 5 to 10 excuses why there was no way I could join a Bible study. Just no time, whatever it was. Last year, I stopped and thought to myself that there was no reason why I couldn't join. It was Satan talking to me in my mind, telling me that there was no way I could, giving me those excuses. I know now that it was Satan who didn't want me to join because he doesn't want me to come closer to the Lord. Since joining the Bible study last fall, I learned how to get myself back in the Bible again. I learned how to break down verses and find out how the verse works in my life, the meaning of the verse. It was also neat to see in our group how when we broke down the verse, there was times where each of us had a different answer on how that verse worked in our life. And that's what I found out was a really cool thing. I received this Bible 19 years ago as a gift from this church. And it took me 18 years of my life to finally open it up and start my growth in the Word again. And I know I'm not where I want to be yet in my growth and my walk with Christ, but at least now I know that I'm on the right path of where I want to go. And if anyone has the opportunity to join a Bible study, I would strongly encourage them to join, and it's one of the greatest things in my life.
As I was trying to find the words to say today, I came across a verse that Pastor Keith told me to write down in Sunday school one day. But I never looked it up until yesterday. But here's what it says. John 12:49, "For I did not speak on my own initiative, but the Father himself who sent me has given me a commandment as to what to say and what to speak." So hopefully this touches somebody. First, I'd like to thank Pastor and Becky for not giving up on us. We are truly blessed to have such dedicated leaders in our church. With that being said, we often find ourselves in uncomfortable places. We find ourselves scared to try new things, but we have to think of it as God saying, "This is the next step in your life, and take it." He will never challenge us with something he knows is totally possible. So when Pastor or Becky or anybody asks you to join a Bible study, and you're scared to try it because maybe you haven't read the Bible yet or just haven't read it in a while, just know it's God challenging you to grow as a Christian. When I started, I didn't even have a Bible. Tom and I shared for the first 2 weeks. When God calls on us to do something that will ultimately help us grow stronger, is there any real viable reason to say no? If we say yes, the fear will escape our hearts and we will become God's valiant warriors. So I encourage anyone who's thinking about it to seriously join, because this has been one of the most humbling and great experiences of my life. Thank you.
Really appreciate that. We got them way out of their comfort zone this morning, but they were willing to be used and to minister to our hearts, and for that we give him praise. There are some of you here that need to join a Bible study group, and you've given all the reasons, and they're always there. I'm not going to go too far with that, but if God has stirred you, I would encourage you, just as they did, to be a part. It's fellowship, it's Bible study, it's a smaller setting. You can ask questions. You don't have to know anything to start. And we were blessed last year to be a part of one. I would encourage you to do the same. There's a sign-up sheet as you go out. And I would have you think about that. Let's pray about this few moments we have left. Loving Father, we are grateful to hear from those today, a couple. And there are many others in this congregation who could give their amen to that, who have had a similar experience through opening the Word of God, your Word, and would, and through your Spirit, have been touched, have been impacted, have experienced your grace and know of the change you've brought and the hope that is there for them. Thank you for that. Father, as we look into this Word this morning for a few minutes, I pray that you would minister it strongly to each of us, and that you would open the hearts of those who you would have see the truth of where they're at and what they need today. And I would ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Turn to John, the third chapter, if you would. John, the third chapter. I'm going to keep this is my goal, to keep it as short and simple as I can this morning. I've had on my heart for some time, I've wanted to share strictly a gospel message, and that's what this is. Let's look at the scripture. John 3, I would like to begin in verse 14. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. So that whoever believes will in him have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to judge the world or condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And then verse 36, he who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Each of us will experience eternity in one of two places. Either that will be with our Lord in heaven, or it will be with Satan, his demons, and the unbelievers that are in a place called the lake of fire. There's no way to sugarcoat it, and I'm not going to this morning. to do that is to do wrong. I believe it's not to be, it's not helpful to anyone just to try to smooth the reality of what it means to stand before a holy God and to look into his face and to understand that I am accountable and I will spend eternity in one of two places. There is good news. The good news is that God provides a glorious rescue for sinners. He does. Through faith in Jesus Christ, eternal life is given. That's the simplicity of what I have to say to you today. It is through faith in Jesus Christ that eternal life is granted. It's given. It's a gift. That is his offer. And it needs to be acted on immediately, okay? There's no time to put this off. It needs to be acted on immediately. There's the revelation of it that he speaks to here. Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." Those are the facts. Here's his proposition, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. It is because of the love of the Father, the Father's love, that we have this opportunity to believe. You see in verse 16, God so loved the world that he gave. The world isn't this round thing that we stand upon. It is the people in it. The love of God comes to us not because there's anything in us that deserves it or would prompt it or would earn it. The opposite would be true. We are wretched, rebellious, sin-loving creatures. Every bone of our body pours out rebellion against God and his ways. That's just the heart of man. You know, when I have to tell you this, and I still struggle with it. When I see a sign, perhaps it's, let's say I'm walking on a sidewalk, and there's a cut across, and it says, "Don't walk on the grass." You know what I want to do? I want to take the cut across and walk on the grass. For one, it's shorter. Secondly, I don't like people telling me what to do. But that represents the heart of man. But God still loves me. He does. There's the sidewalk prophets sing a song entitled, "You Love Me Anyway." The course states this, "You love me anyway. It's like nothing in the life that I've ever known. Yes, you love me anyway. Oh, Lord, how you love me, how you love me." And they have it right. He loves us anyway, in spite of who we are. He loves us even when we are not lovable. And it is because of the Father's love that we have an opportunity to trust Jesus Christ as our Savior. Secondly, it's because he left heaven. Not only did God send his Son, but the Lord Jesus Christ willingly came, knowing what was before him. God's love is demonstrated in sending his Son. Our Lord's love is demonstrated in agreeing to go to the cross, where he became sin for us, he who knew no sin. And he, none of it was hidden from him because he's God in the flesh and he's all-knowing. He knew what was before him. If you would open the scripture, you could look it up and understand Jesus kept telling his disciples, "I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to be betrayed, and so forth." He knew what was before him. Does God love you? You need only to look to the cross. Jesus left the glory of heaven, where myriads of angels sang his praises, to step into a world where a mess awaited him. He would experience the rejection and hatred of man. He would experience death, and yet he loved me anyway. So there's a revelation of it, this great gift, this opportunity to know God through his Son, Jesus Christ. And there's a reason for it as well. Why would one need to have an understanding that whoever believes in him will have eternal life? Why would we need to have that understanding? Well, it's because God has made an assessment, a determination. He has noted that the need of man to be right with him. And it's because we are sinners. I alluded to it. Ecclesiastes 7:20 says this. Indeed, there's not a righteous man on earth who continually does good and does not sin. And the scripture is very clear that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Man's sin separates him from a relationship with God. That sin is a barrier. There's a wall there, if you would. That wall allows no access, no relationship. It's a barrier that has been erected by the fact that we are sinners by birth and we are sinners by choice. Sin has consequences. What has it profited us? Well, there is some pleasure to it for sure. Let's be honest. There's a pull to it. And that's why we are moved that way at times. But I have to tell you, it's like playing with a skunk trapped in a corner. It may be exciting for a bit, but you'll not come out of there unscathed. Sin promises the world, but it delivers death. Its sentence is upon all of us. The wages of sin is death. And the next thing I would like you to think about, there's a reason that we need to know that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Not only because we are sinners, but secondly, because we are under his wrath. We're under his wrath. Moses wrote a song in Deuteronomy, the 32nd chapter. And in one section of that song, and he's speaking of the glory of God, he's speaking of different things God has done and so forth. But there's a verse there that jumps out, and it really speaks to my heart. Deuteronomy 32:35, it says, "It is mine to avenge." This is the word. "It is mine to avenge. I will repay." This is God's word to us. Now listen, in due time, now he says, it's mine. Vengeance isn't man's, it's God's. And God's saying, I'm going to judge sin and sinners. He's saying, it's mine to avenge. I will repay. In due time, listen, their foot will slip. The day of disaster is near. Their doom rushes upon them. Well, that's a pretty frightening verse, because basically God's saying, I'm going to deal with this. I'll deal with them. And it's if they're standing on the edge of eternity. And their foot is ready to slip. The day of disaster is near. Their doom rushes in upon them. Now, if you're here having not trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to know something. You are under the wrath of Almighty God. And in and of yourself, you cannot escape that wrath. And I want you to know, life is very short. And if you're in that position, you indeed stand on the edge of eternity. And it is as you are on a slippery slope, and your feet are about to give out, and you are about to slip into hell. So there's a reason that we need to consider Jesus Christ. Those who have rejected him, you are under the wrath of God. Look at verse 36 in this third chapter. There's quite a variance here in this gift, or in this verse. It says, for one, he who believes in Son has eternal life. And we all want to say amen, praise God, right? But then it also says this. What a contrast. He who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. There was a point in my life when this was true of me. I was in the fifth grade struggling to know how to have eternal life. Had I died, have I stepped into eternity before I came to faith in Jesus Christ, the lake of fire would have been mine. I was under the wrath of God at that point. Those are hard words. Those are frightening words. I hope if you're here today without Jesus, they'll scare you right to him. They'll drive you to him. And you'll take this great gift that he offers. Well, you either have believed and are saved from the wrath to come, or you're in line to incur the wrath to come. There's no in between. There's no in between. There's an escape, however. There is. There's a way out of this sentence of death that is upon every sinner. There's a way of escape. Look at verse 15 again with me. Whoever believes will in him have eternal life. How is it that we can be right with God? It is through faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. Look at verse 16, a great promise there as well. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And look at verse 17. It's amazing to me. Here's the heart of God. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. That's the heart of God. He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. You might say, Pastor, you know, I don't know if I needed to hear all about that wrath and stuff, but I want to ask you a question. How else are you going to know about it? And you need to know that. Everyone needs to know that. That there's judgment to come. There's a wrath to come. And if you're not in Christ today, you are under the sentence of death. You're terminal. And not only that, but what does this mean then? If there isn't a hell, if there isn't a lake of fire, if there isn't a wrath to come, why would you need Jesus Christ? Satan is a great deceiver. He's a liar. He's a murderer. And he will tell us a lot of things. One of those things is you're okay with God just like you are. I want you to know you're not, and the Scripture says so. God's made that determination, not me. If you're without Christ, you need to come to faith in Him. So this then is really good news. Think about it. In a moment of time, through faith in Christ, I can be transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. I can be under the sentence of death, under the sentence of hell, under God's wrath in a moment in time. Through faith in Him, I have eternal life. Is that not what the Scripture says? In Him, through faith, you have eternal life. What good news this is. When we gathered here this morning around the table, I suppose for all of us it was different in many ways. But one of the things we have to think about is I've been redeemed. Here I am worshiping as a child of Almighty God in a right relationship, not because of what I've done, not because of some act that I performed, some religious act, not some work. It's because He's redeemed me. I've recognized I'm a sinner. I came to Holy God and said, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Will you save me? And I did that in the fifth grade, and He did. He says, whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. And this is our message, friend. At times it's uncomfortable sharing it with someone. I think we've bought it into something. I think that's okay and good. But I think sometimes we take it too far. We say, well, our life, you know, by my life, I'm really testifying about the glory of God and how it is to walk. That's true to an extent. But how will they know without the Word of God? How will they know about the wrath to come if somebody doesn't tell them? And perhaps God has put you in a particular place, and I know He has, to share this life-giving message, a life-transforming message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And to my brothers and sisters, I want to say to you today, go forth with boldness and courage. Yes, we want to do this in a way where there's respect and so forth, but there's someone in your life that needs to know that if they continue on the path they are, that they're going to experience something that none of us would want our worst enemies to experience. But there's an escape. There's an escape, and we access it by faith in Jesus Christ. And if you're here today without the Lord, if you're here today without knowing, I want to challenge you in this moment, at this time, to deal with God. You can do like I did, or like many have. You recognize, you know what, I have nothing for God. I have nothing in and of myself. I'm a sinner, and you know what? I deserve God's wrath and condemnation. I deserve that. I do. But I'm coming to God, and I'm asking Him, recognizing I need a Savior. He sent His Son for me, and I'm asking Him to save me. I'm placing my faith in Jesus Christ. I believe. I believe what He said. If I believe that in Him, I will have eternal life. Some of you here today need to come to that point, and we want to hear about it. We want to rejoice with you. Others of you, I want to tell you, friends, this is the message that the world is desperate to hear, and they need it. And you and I are ambassadors for Christ, and we have that opportunity. Satan will tell you you don't know enough, you can't say it right, and all those things. Guess what? We have the Holy Spirit of God within us. We have the Word of God, which is powerful. And we're going to go. Sometimes we'll go in fear and trembling, but we'll set that aside and we'll go and make a difference and speak to that one. Because there are those today, this is a sobering thought, there are those today that have stepped into an eternity today without Jesus Christ. Let's make heaven rejoice by being those who call others to faith in Him. If you're here today without Him, I would ask you to trust Him now. I'm just going to ask you to stand. We're going to pray, and we'll be dismissed. Loving Heavenly Father, we are so undeserving of Your great and wonderful and marvelous grace. Thank You for the gift of eternal life that You offer. We reach out in faith. That is the hand that takes that gift. We believe. Father, there are some here today that need to come to that point where they're solid in their conviction about who they are and what You've offered them. Father, by Your Spirit, draw them to Yourself. May they believe too. Save them now. Others of us, Father, we've had opportunities that we haven't taken advantage of. And we've made excuses, and maybe we haven't really recognized the greatness of the message that saved us. It's just exactly what my friend, my brother, my family member, my coworker the person that I sat next to in my classroom needs. Father, give us boldness to proclaim it. And we are forever going to sing your praises because of what you've done for us. And it is not mere words that we say thank you for this great salvation. We love you. I pray you use this body for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.